Today's Mishnah, today's sugya is Daf Sechtes Vachem Daf Pei Vav. We will begin in Daf Pei Hey Amid Beis at the Mishnah, the bottom of the Amid. Says the Mishnah, Ve'elu Im Yardu, Ve'elim Olu Yardu. As has been the subject of our Perek, that in many situations the Torah teaches us the halacha is Im Olu, that even different parts of Kabbonis, different parts of Kachim, that are put on the Mizbeach, and all of they were put on the Mizbeach, lo yerdu, they should remain there. Our Mishnah continues to teach us where that rule doesn't apply. Says the Mishnah, Ebasa Kachikachim, the meat of Kachikachim, which is eaten by the Kahanim, not by the Mizbeach, the meat of Karban Chatos, the meat of Karban Ashram. So since it's not eaten by the Kahanim, it doesn't belong in the Mizbeach, it has no place on the Mizbeach. And therefore, even if it was put there, it should be removed. Basr kachm kalim, certainly the meat of kachm kalim, which again, not only are they not burnt on the Mizbeach, but not only are they limited to be eaten by the Kohanim, but they may even be eaten by the owners of the carbon, so certainly they don't belong on the Mizbeach. Maisr ha'omer, we know the halacha is that on the second day of Pesach, a carbon omer made out of barley was brought and put on the Mizbeach. The kaimitz was burnt on the Mizbeach. The leftover was eaten by the Kohanim. Shtei halechem, on Shavuos, they brought two lambs for carbon. And accompanying those two lambs were brought shtei lechem, two loaves. Again, those two loaves were eaten by the Kohanim. The lechem aponim, which is on a weekly basis, they brought to the Beis HaMikdash 12 loaves put into the Shulchan every Shabbos, and there were two spoons of Levayna on top of the Shulchan. Those two loaves, those two spoons were burnt. The Lechem is eaten by the Kohanim. The Shiar Minachas, and every Karban Mincha, we know the halacha is that the Karban Mincha, there's a kaimitz removed and burnt on the Mizbeach, and the rest is eaten by the Kohanim. All of these items that the Mishnah just identified have no room on the Mizbeach, don't belong on the Mizbeach, and therefore by all of them, the halacha is that if they're put on the Mizbeach, they should be removed. Tosfos points out that it seems that all of these items that we just discussed, shouldn't they all be in the category of Shiurei Menachos? And what is the Mishnah mention each one separately? So Tosfos answers, the omer is unique that it comes from barley, even though normally karmicha comes from wheat. The shtei lechem is unique that they are made completely out of chametz. Normally the karmicha is not necessarily made out of chametz. And the lechem panim is unique that no part of the actual loaves, as we just discussed, are made, are put on the Mizbeach, just the Levine is put on the Mizbeach, there's no kaimitz by them, and therefore, again, they're a unique type of situation, and that's why the Mishnah felt that they should be mentioned separately. Sfasemis indeed makes the observation based on Tosfos that we now see that Tosfos is teaching us that the category that we know of Kabbonis, called Mincha, turns out to be a much broader category than we assume. It's not only the specific Karban Mincha that we've discussed, and soon, Mitzvah Hashem, we're going to learn a whole Masecht about it, but rather, it speaks even to other Kabbonis. Any Karban not brought from a living thing, from an animal or a bird, it seems Tosfos feels, is in the category of a Karban Mincha. Continues the Mishnah, Sar etzemer shebarosh kvasim, if there's wool on the head of rams, or sar shebezokin tiyashim, or there's hair in the beard of a goat. And the way the Rishonim explain is as follows. As recently as in our previous shir, we learned a carbon oila is completely skinned before it's burnt on the Mizbeach. We spoke about previous year, Hefshet v'nituach. But our Mishnah is teaching us that the halacha is that the skin of the head of a carbon oila is not removed. When the head is put on the mizbech, it's put on with the skin. However, even though the skin is considered one with the meat by the head, that has nothing to do with the other items, the sar, the tzemer, vatsamais, are bones. Interesting to point out that the Migdash David, when he speaks about the bones of our Mishnah, he speaks specifically about bones that don't have marrow in them. He says bones without marrow are not considered meat. He says bones that have marrow in them are considered meat. Vagidim are the different veins and arteries. Interesting again to point out that the Mefarshim say that when we speak about these different parts of the animal, we're speaking about parts of the animal that are not edible. But if any of these parts of the animal were edible, for example, they speak about the tulfayim, the hooves that we're going to mention in a moment. If there's a soft hoof, that's considered meat. And there's a raya from a Gemara that we learned earlier in our Masechta. Because the Gemara in our Masechta earlier said that the or ha'alya, the skin by the tail, given that it's soft, is considered meat. The same here. If any of these items are soft, they're considered meat. V'karnayim, the horns of the animal, v'atulfayim are the hoofs. The halach is as follows, says the Mishnah. Bizman she mechubarim, if they're connected to the animal, yalu, so then they should be brought up on the mizbeach together with the animal, as the pasuk says, and the Gemara is going to quote a brice in a moment that will elaborate, v'ikta koin es hakol. Pirshu, but if they're separated, then the halach is lo yalu, they should not be put on the mizbeach. Shenemar, vasisa olasecha habosa v'hadom. Only boss of Adam, no other part. So there's a fascinating medrash. The medrash says, and many mefarshim discuss this medrash, that, and it's based actually on a balaturim, that the shayf, that the horns of the ayol that Avram Avinu bought after Hashem told him not to do the akedah Yitzchak, was the horn that was used as the shayfer. That we know that when the Torah was given, there were koilus ubrakim, the koil shofar. Was that from those horns? Ask the Mefarshim, how could that horn be used for the shofar? Our Mishnah is teaching us that when you burn a carbon oil, you're supposed to burn the horns with it. So how do we understand that medrash? Torah Chaim HaKadosh discusses that medrash. Ramban discusses that medrash. So some want to say that it was a special directive from Hashem. Some want to say that Avraham Avinu wasn't obligated to fulfill the entire Torah. It was before Kabbalah Satorah. He chose what to be Mekayim and what not to fulfill. And he knew that those horns will be needed by the time of Kabbalah Satorah. So he chose to save them. Others say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, resurrected those horns. But the Rabbi Shua Leib Diskin says, our Mishnah is the answer. Apparently, he says what happened was that during the burning of Yitzchak Avinu, during the burning of that carbon oila, the horns got detached from the animal. And our Mishnah is teaching us that if the horns get detached, then they shouldn't be burnt. So they got detached, they could use it for a shayfer. I saw another teretz, a very nice teretz. The Sefer Talalei Oiris quotes the Pillar of a Rebbe. He says a very nice teretz. He says, we know, as I said a moment ago, originally Yitzchak Avinu was supposed to be brought as the carbon. Then when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, not Yitzchak, Avraham Avinu took the ayil. And we know every organ of the ayil, as Avraham Avinu was sacrificing, he said, when he was sacrificing the heart, he said, this is in the place of Yitzchak's heart. This is in the place of Yitzchak's hands. There are no horns by a human being. So they didn't have to sacrifice the horns, and that's why the horns were able to be left for a shayfer. One more interesting vart, the Sefer Tver Shloima. Anybody ever looks in the Sefer Tver Shloima, he knows that one of his big concepts that he discusses constantly is the issue of his kashrus l'tzadikim. The person is supposed to connect himself to a tzaddik. So he says that our Mishnah could be a source for that very important concept. What does our Mishnah say? Our Mishnah says that we have these parts of the animal that are considered insignificant, that should be put on the mizbeach, the hoofs and the horns and the bones. But what does the Mishnah say? that if they're connected to the animal, then they come along with the carbon. If not, not. So it says the same. So sometimes you have a person who's really not such a great individual, but if he connects himself to a tzaddik, and the tzaddik is a great person, that's how he goes along with the tzaddik. It says it's really a pasuk. Yivorech yirei Hashem, haktanim im hagdoilim. What's pshat in the pasuk? It says you have people who are gdoilim, and you have people who are unfortunately ktanim. But the ktanim, you know how the ktanim can get brocha? Im hagdoilim, if they connect themselves to the gdoilim. Says the Braisa, Tanur Rabbanan, the Braisa said, as we said, the Braisa is going to elaborate what we learned in the Mishnah. Vikta koin ha-kolas mizbecha. The pasuk says that all of the carbon oil should be burnt on the mizbeach. The rabbis for eitz hatzomais va'agidim va'konayim va'atlfayim, they should all be burnt along with the carbon. Continues the Braisa. Yochel afilu pirshu. We would think that this should be the aloch even if they become disconnected. Tamaloymer says the pasuk, strictly the boss of Adam are put on the Mizbeach. So the Brice itself makes the point. E boss of Adam, if the Pasuk says boss of Adam, Yochel Yachlitz Gidim Vatzomois V'yal boss of Adam Mizbeach, we would think that you should separate them. As Machloikis Rashi and Rambam, how to learn this. Rashi learns Yochel Yachlitz, that the Brice and the Havimina says that there would be a mitzvah to separate these items from the carbon. The Rambam says there was never a Havamina that there's a mitzvah to do it. The Havamina was, there's nothing wrong, you could do it, you cannot do it, doesn't make a difference. Tamaloymer, that's what the Pasuk says, V'hikta koin ha-kol, ha-ketzad, mechubarim, if they're connected still, yalu, they should be put on the Mizbeach, pirshu, but if they become separated, afila and barosh Mizbeach, even if they're on the Mizbeach, yerdu. They should be taken off. Ask the Gemara. And we're going to learn the Gemara as Rashi explains the Gemara. Mantana, says the Gemara, the Shamatle, who is the opinion, Dhamma Pirshu, that if they got separated, Yeridu. So as Rashi explains, as the Mefarshim and Rashi understand the Gemara as follows. This halacha that the Mishnah, that the Braisa said, is really somewhat, if we understand the Braisa well, different than what we learned in the Mishnah. Because our Mishnah spoke about the distinction between when these items are connected to the animal versus when they're not connected. But our Mishnah didn't teach us the halacha that these items, when they're disconnected, not only should they not be put on the Mizbeach, but that the halacha is that if they're on the Mizbeach, yerdu, they should be removed from the Mizbeach. So the Gemara wants to know, who is this Tana that takes such a strict approach that says that not only should they not be put on the Mizbeach when they're separated, but they should be removed? Says Gemara, Rebihi. Because that we don't see in our Mishnah. That we only will see that this is the opinion of Rebbe in the Braisa. The Tanya, because the Braisa says, as we just have been quoting, the Pasuk says, V'hikta ha-koinas ha-kol ha-mizbecha, l'rabbois, ha-tzomis v'agidim ha-konayim v'atofayim. A film appears. The Tanya Kama holds, even if they're disconnected, they should be put on. Ella asked the Braisa, Mani Mekayim, if that is the halacha, how will we understand the pasuk that says, Vasiso alasechov abos vadom, which seems to limit this to that only bos vadom should be put on the Mizbeach, nothing else? Loimelach, to teach us, ikule oily atamachser, only parts of the oila that are taken off the Mizbeach should be put on, viatamachser ikule gidim vatsamas. And as the Mefarshim point out, given that ktoiris is very different than part of the animal, so that's why even though we learned in the previous year and we're learning again that a kulik ktoiris also are not put back, we can't bring a raya from the ktoiris. We can't bring a raya from the ktoiris to the rest of the animal. In fact, the mefarshim go on to explain. We learned in the Mishnah as we began our shir today that the ktoiris is an item that's put on the Mizbeach that should be removed. Why is so the halacha? So they explain. Because the ktoiris doesn't belong, our Mishnah, we said it the first shir on this perek, our Mishnah is talking about the Mizbeach Achitzin. And the Mizbeach Achitzin, the ktoiris doesn't belong on. The ktoiris belongs on the Mizbeach HaPnimi. And therefore, even if it was put on the Mizbeach HaChitzen, it should be removed. I asked the Rishonim, the halacha, we learned the Gemara together, is that let's say the dam, the blood of a carbon that belongs on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, was put on the Mizbeach HaChitzen, we learned that the Braisa says that it should remain there. I, according to the way we just explained, something that belongs to the Mizbeach HaPnimi, if it was put on the Mizbeach HaChitzen, should be removed. Answer the Rishonim. There's a difference between dam and ketores. Dam, although this carbon maybe is the carbon that should have been brought on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, but it's dam. And dam has a place on the Mizbeach HaChitzen. However, ketores, which has no place on the Mizbeach HaChitzen, it's supposed to be brought on the Mizbeach HaPnimi. Therefore, the halacha is, if it's brought there, it should be, as the Mishnah taught us, removed. So now we understand why the halacha that we learned yesterday by Kulei Ketores cannot shed light on what we spoke about now by the Kulei Gidim V'Tzomis, because they're so very different. Although, I did see that the Mefarshim asked another question. Given the explanation that we just gave, that Ketores has absolutely no place on the Mizbeach HaChitzen, so why does the Mishnah have to teach us that if it's put there, it should be removed? Of course it should be removed. They have no place there. So I saw two separate terutzim. One, and again, these terutzim go back to the concept and the issue that we've been discussing throughout this parak. One terutz is that we would think, as we've started this parak, that that's the power of the Mizbeach, that anything put on the Mizbeach, as foreign of an object it is to the Mizbeach, perhaps there's a din that the Mizbeach keeps it, teaches us the Mishnah, there has to be some connection. If there's absolutely no connection, it doesn't remain there. Another teretz that I saw is an interesting teretz. Regarding to Mitzvah Shem, learn a Gemara in Masechet Menachos. The halacha is pasuk in the Torah, a kol karbon chatikar of melech. You have to put salt on all karbonos. And the halacha is not only a karbonos, must salt be added, but salt has to be added even to the Torah. And there's an opinion, and Mitzvah Shem, as I said, we'll learn in Masechet Menachos, that when they brought the Ketores, they would first put it on the Mizbeach HaChitzen. That's where they would apply the salt, and only afterwards would they take it to the Mizbeach HaPnimi. So therefore, I could make an argument that the Ketores does have room on the Mizbeach HaChitzen, because that's where the salting took place. Still teaches us the Mishnah, that doesn't mean that the place of the Ketores is on the Mizbeach HaChitzen, it should be removed. Rabbi Omer, back to our Braisa. Rabbi Omer, Kosv Echer Omer, Vikta Akoina Kolam Mizbecha, Reba, that includes all parts of the animal. Yet, because of Echer Omer, another pasuk says, Vasisa Lasecha Bas Vadam Miit, only the Bas Vadam, Ha Ketzat, how are we to understand this halacha? Mechubarin, when they're connected, Yalut should all be put on the Mizbech, Pirshu, but if they are removed, again, as I said, what's Rashi saying? That our Mishnah, that doesn't clearly teach us that the halacha is that not only if they're separated should they be not put on the Mizbeach, but also that if they're separated and they were put on the Mizbeach, they should be removed. That's what the Braisa is shedding light on the Mishnah, that the Mishnah is following the opinion of Rebbe, and that will be the halacha according to our Mishnah. The only issue that remains is if that's the way to understand the Gemara, and that's the way Rashi understands the Gemara, point out to Mefarshim, we have a problem with Rashi. Why, if our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rebbe, and our Mishnah is passing him Olu Yerdu, does our Mishnah not say that halacha? That's why Tosfos has a whole, this is one of the reasons that Tosfos has a whole different approach to this machloikis and to who holds what. Again, learning like Rashi. Pirshu Layalu. So we just learned that it is the opinion of Rebbe, and according to Rashi, and therefore it is the opinion of our Mishnah, that if they become separated, that they shouldn't be put on the Mizbeach, and even if they're on the Mizbeach, they should be removed. Says Reb Zeira, and again, this is the way Rashi understands Reb Zeira, Loi shanol shepirshu klapi mata, ava klapi mala, kruvi hu de kruvi l'ikov afilu pirshu, which means as follows. Rebbe says that if they're separated, they should be put on the Mizbeach. And if they're put on the Mizbeach, they should be removed. Says Reb Zeira, according to Rebbe, what will be the halacha if they're on the Mizbeach and they get separated when they're on the Mizbeach. Should they be removed or not? We would assume, certainly they should be removed. Teaches us, Reb Zaira, no. We have to look at the following. When they get removed, they could go in one of two directions. They could go in the direction towards the fire, or they could go in the direction away from the fire. Teaches us, Reb Zaira, that even Rebbe, who holds that if they become separated, they should be removed from the Mizbeach, if they became separated on the Mizbeach, and they became separated in the direction towards the fire, then they shouldn't be removed from the Mizbeach. Let's read the words inside. If they got separated from the animal when they're on the Mizbeach, in the direction away from the fire, then indeed, Rebbe holds, they should be removed. Abba, klapimala, if they're separated towards the fire, kruvihu de ikol, krivil ikol, since they're close to the fire, and therefore the halacha is that they should be removed. Ask the Gemara, afilu pirshu, does that mean even if they're separated? Didn't Rebbe just say, ask the Gemara, in these two words, that when they become separated, they don't remain on the Mizbeach? And therefore, Rava reinterprets what Reb Zaira said. When is there a halacha that these parts should be taken off the Mizbeach, but they may not be used? It's only if the separation took place after the Zrika. Ava Pirsha Kadim Zrika. In other words, if the items that were identified in the Mishnah become separated from the animal prior to the Zrika, also Zrika v'shartinu. He says a tremendous chiluk, he says a tremendous kula, the Zrika will accomplish that this will not be considered kachim, and the bones, even of a carbon oiler, I feel about umevin minayi kata the sakni, could be used to make a handle of a knife. And the way that we should explain Rava's svara is as follows. We've had a concept throughout this Masechta that the avoid of Zrika is a matter. The avoid of Zrika is a matter. So therefore, Zrika is a matter. So when the bones are connected to the animal, so they travel together with the animal. But when they're separated from the animal, and we have the avoid of Zrika, which is accomplishes a matter, so what does it mean it's matter? It's matter for your own personal use. Says the Gemara, because Savala, Rava agrees, Wikihada Amr Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shmuel, Nemar, he makes the following Gzeri Sheva, Nemar lo yeh ba'ayla, the Torah says the words lo yeh ba'karben ayla, V'nemar, and the Torah uses the words lo yeh ba'asham, Ma asham, just like by karben asham, at smaisa matarim, the Kohanim could use the bones for their own personal use, the dinim that apply to the meat don't apply to the bones, Af ayla, at Samas Matarim, so too will the halacha. Under the circumstances that we just identified, the bones will be mutter. We know throughout Shas, there are two types of Gzereshava. A Gzereshava, we know, means that when you have two psukim with similar words, that the Gemara connects the two halachas. But we have a Gzereshava, which is known as the Gzereshava Mufna. That the words, or at least the one psuk, or maybe both psukim, are superfluous and are not clearly there to teach us the Gzeri Shava. And then we have a Gzeri Shava She'ena Mufna. Gzeri Shava She'ena Mufna means when the words are not superfluous. Says the Gemara, what's the difference between the two types of Gzeri Shava? A Gzeri Shava Mufna, even if there's a question on the Gzeri Shava still stands. A Gzeri Shava She'ena Mufna, if there's a question on the Gzeri Shava falls. Says the Gemara, this must be a Gzeri Shava Mufna. Mufna, it must be a Gzeri Shava with open words. The e loy mufni, if the words are needed to teach us other halachas, then this gzereshava would collapse on the questioning. Because ikla mifrach, mala asham, how could you compare the halacha of an oila to an asham? Mala asham, by carbon asham, shekain, besara mutter, and that's why we could be lenient regarding the bones. But the oila that we know is kulay kalul, the oila that's completely burnt, we can't learn the halacha of an oila from a carbon asham. Says the Gemara, indeed. There's an extra layer by the carbon oiler to teach us that indeed, that if, according to Rava's interpretation, the bones become separated from the meat prior to the Zrika will accomplish that you can use those bones for whatever you want. Ask the Gemara, Moser of Adabar Hava, it says in a braisa, at Tzomais Kachim, the bones of all Kabonis, Lifnei Zrika, before the Zrika took place, Mayal and Behem, the subject to Halachas Amila. Why? Because they're part of the carbon. La'ach Zrika, but if the Zrika took place, Mayal and Behem. Hey, Mayal and Behem. Why? Because just like the meat becomes mutter, so too the bones become mutter after the Zrika. However, continues the Braisa, Vishal Oila, Mayal and Behem La'olam. So what does it say here? That the Oila is always subject to Mila. Not like Rava said, that if they became disconnected prior to the Zrika, and you did the Zrika, they become mutter for personal use, they become permissible for personal use. Ema says the Gemara, this is the way to interpret the Braisa. The Braisa is not arguing. Rather, says the Gemara, this is the way to understand Halach of Oila. Not that the bones of Oila, does the Braisa mean to say, are always Osir, but rather, the way to understand is as follows. Pirshu lifnei zrika, if they became separated from the animal, and then you did zrika. So as we learned before, so the zrika is matarem, therefore emayalim behen. However, la'ach zrika, if they only became separated after zrika, so you didn't have the zrika to be matar that summis. Why? Because at the time of zrika, they were part of the meat, and the meat must be burnt, so that summis go along with the meat. And even if afterwards they will become separated, they will still be subject to Mi'ilah. Ma'alam ben lo'olam. However, comments to Gemara, or Pligad Reb Elezer, this opinion of Rava is in serious disagreement with Reb Elezer said. Damar Reb Elezer, Reb Elezer says just the opposite. Pirshu lifnei zrika, if the bones got separated from the meat before the zrika, ma'alam behem, then they will be subject for Mi'ilah even after the Zrika. But if they only got separated L'ach Zrika, L'Nenim, one should not have Anov, L'Malim, but they're not subject to Mi'ilah. Most Rishonim learn it's Issa D'Rabbanan. Just the opposite of what Rav said. And the Mefarshim tackle how to understand the Machloikus of Rav and Rabbi Lazar, and they basically explain it to Machloikus how to understand the Gzeres Shavah that we quoted earlier. Says the Mishnah, V'kulon Shepokah Me'al Gavim Mizbeach, all parts of the animal that flew off the Mizbeach, it's highly likely that because of the heat will propel things off the Mizbeach, the halacha is layach, so they should not be returned. So there's a number of questions, there's a number of points to make here. One, the Rishonim are very troubled, based on the Gemara that we learned at the end of yesterday's shir. At the end of yesterday's shir, Ula taught us that if a carbon, mashla ben ha'ar, was singed by fire, even if it was removed from the mizbeach, it should be put back on. And here it says, v'kulon shepok ma'al mizbeach, lo yachzer, it should be put back on. It was propelled, as I just said a moment ago, by fire. It was obviously singed. It was singed. Ula says it should always be put back on. So how do we understand? So I saw a number of terutzim. One terutz is that when Ula says that if it's mashal ben ha'or, it should be put back on, Ula didn't mean that you have to put it back on. Ula meant that you could put it back on. And the same thing when Amish says, and Rashi says it come out mefurish, when Amish says lo yachzer, Rashi, the Gemara doesn't mean that you may not put it on. Lo yachzer means you don't have to put it on. So Ula and Amish are actually saying the exact same thing. That if it was singed, you could put it back on, if you so choose, and you don't have to put it back on if you don't want to. That's one way of learning. Another way of learning is as follows. And again, we spoke about this in our previous year. In our previous year, we pointed out that when Ula spoke about mashal ben ha'or, that it was singed by fire, you should put it back on under all circumstances. So I said, Rashi says, mashal ben ha'or ktsas. There was somewhat singed. So now we could understand the two halachas very well. The Ula was speaking about a case where it was singed, but not completely consumed by the fire. So there the halach is that they should be put back on the Mizbeach. Our Mishnah is referring to a situation that they were burnt. There the halach is if they're off the Mizbeach, don't put it back on. There's a fascinating tshuva from the Imre Yoshe, Rameya Arik, Tolnarov, based on this Mishnah. The halacha, it's an important halacha to review. The halacha is, if somebody's wearing a talus, in the middle of davening, he has to remove his talus, he has to go out, he has to go to the washroom. So the halacha is, this is our minute, you don't make a bracha when you put the talus back on. The Magen Avraham goes on to say that let's say someone took off his talus without any specific intention to put it back on or not to put it back on. He didn't have any specific intention. So the Magen Avraham, the Mishnah Berurah quotes, the Magen Avraham says, it depends. If you're wearing a talus cotton, then you don't have to make a bracha when you put back on the talus cotton. But the Shulchan Aruch says, in the Mishnah Berurah, the Shulchan Aruch Rav, all pask in this way, that let's say you're wearing a talus, and your talus just slips off. You didn't intentionally take it off. It fell off. Then when you put it back on, you have to make a bracha. Interesting to point out, there's a very interesting Rabbi Kiva Eger. The Mishnah Berurah, Shulchan Aruch Rav, don't agree with Rabbi Kiva Eger. Rabbi Kiva Eger says that's only if you weren't in the middle of davening. Rabbi Kiva Eger says if the talus even just slips off unintentionally in the middle of davening, you still don't have to make a bracha when you put it back on. What's Pshat Rabbi Kiva Eger? The way to understand Rabbi Kiva Eger, I think, is as follows. What's the reason why if you take off your talus in the middle of davening, almost everybody agrees when you put it back on, you did everything kavanah intentionally, when you come back, you should not make a bracha. Because a person, when he puts on the talus, makes a bracha at the beginning of davening, has intention that he should have his talus on for the whole davening. And whatever happens, that bracha should positively affect that. So Rabbi Kiva Eger says, that was part of your kavanah, that even if it falls off, the bracha should work. As I said, Mishnah Berurah, Shulchan Aruch Rav don't agree. The Imre Yoshe says that also a very interesting chiddush. It's a little more understandable. It matters how your talus falls off. It could fall off in one of two ways. It could just completely fall off, or it could slip off slowly. In a case where it just all of a sudden falls off, there the halach is, you didn't intend to take it off, you didn't know what was happening, so when you put it back on, you should make a bracha. However, if it just like slips off and you realize what's happening, even though you couldn't catch it and prevent it from falling off, but you knew it happening, there he says you wouldn't have to make a new bracha. Says the Imre Yoshe, again, how does it get to our Mishnah? Says the Imre Yoshe that the halacha makes a distinction between something that you took off intentionally versus something that slipped off. Says the Imre Yoshe that Tosfos says the same thing. When our Mishnah speaks about kul and shapaku, that the halacha is when something flew off the mizbeach, lo yachzer, Tosfos says it only if it flew off by itself. But if you took it off deliberately, the halacha is entirely different than yachzer, you could put it back on. So we see, says the Imre Yoshe, that there's a distinction in halacha between when something was done deliberately or it just happened by itself, similar to the distinction that the halacha makes by the talus. Says the Mishnah, V'kein gachela shepok ma'agav mizbeach, if a coal that was on the mizbeach flew off, the halacha is lo yachz, it should not be put back. Most mefarshim say that the coal that we're discussing in our Mishnah is not a coal made out of burnt limbs, burnt animal parts. It's a coal that they had in the mizbeach from the wood that made up the fire. Not the animal parts have different halachas. Says the Mishnah further, Ivarim shepokum al gavim mizbeach, if different limbs of the carbon flew off the mizbeach, says the Mishnah, if it happened kaidim chatzois, if they flew off before chatzois, the Gemara is going to explain why, yachzer, and they're still subject to Me'ila. La'ach chatzois, after chatzois, lo yachzer, not a halach is that they should not be put back on the mizbeach. However, ve'me alam behem, there's no, they're not subject to Me'ila. Says the Mishnah, k'shem shem mizbeach mekadesh asaroi loy, just like we've been learning in our entire perek, that even items that don't belong on the mizbeach, if they're put on the mizbeach, under many circumstances, emololo yordu should remain there. That halach is not limited to the mizbeach. It applies to the kevesh, to the ramp, to the mizbeach, similarly. Kacha kevesh mekadesh. Although, I saw that the Rishonim say that not only does this halacha apply to the kevesh, to the ramp, but there are other parts of the mizbeach, the soiviv and the yisoid. And they say, if the kevesh, which is sort of more disconnected, and we'll discuss that more in tomorrow's shir, from the mizbeach, the halacha is that anything put on the kevesh becomes, should remain there. Certainly anything that's put on the yisoid or the soiviv will have that halacha. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, K'shem she'a mizbeach v'kevesh mekatshim, just like this halacha is on the mizbeach and on the ramp, es haroy lehem, kach ha'kelem mekatshim. And as we'll see in the Gemara, the Mishnah is saying that the mizbeach and the kevesh, and this is a halacha that we've been constantly learning, have the ability to be mekadosh everything that's on them. But the Mishnah made the comment, haroy lehem. As we learned at the beginning of today's shiur, if something's put on the mizbeach that has absolutely no place on the mizbeach, then the halacha is that it shouldn't be put on the mizbeach. Even if it's put on, it should be removed. But when the Mishnah speaks about the kelim, the kli sharis, the Mishnah doesn't use the words haroy lehem. So now the question is, how do we understand it? Do we understand the same thing about the kelim? That the kelim only have the ability to be mekadosh haroy lehem, something that belongs in a keli. But something that doesn't belong in a keli, Kali can't be Makadish. Or maybe the Klisharis is so powerful that they're Makadish even something that's put into them that has no place in them. To quickly review. The first thing that was done every day in the Beis HaMikdash was the Avodah of Trumas Hadeshen. Trumas Hadeshen was that a Kohen would take a silver shovel and go up to the Mizbeach and take ashes off the Mizbeach. Machloikis, was it a full shovel or was a full shovel that much ash or a kaimitz amount of ash? Machloikis, put on a specific spat on the side of the kevish, on the side of the ramp, where a nes occurred that those ashes got absorbed into the ground, and then the rest of the ash were made into tapuach, were made into a pile in the middle of the mizbeach, until when there was just too much ash, that ash was taken outside of the azara altogether. So begins the Gemara discussing our Mishnah, Tanna Rabbanan. The Mishnah made a distinction between the evarim if it was before chatzos or after chatzos. Ask the Gemara, what's going on with these Eivorim? Hey Chidami, Ida Ispul Mamish, if they're still whole, Afilu Acha Chatzos Nami. So why is the halacha that if they were taken off, if they flew off after Chatzos, they don't have to be put back on? They still require burning. On the other hand, Ida Lespul Mamish, if they're completely consumed by the fire, then Afilu Chatzos Nami. Then even if they flew off before Chatzos, there should be no halacha that they should be returned. Answers the Gemara, Lo Tzrichi, our Mishnah is referring to Shriri, that they got hardened because of the burning, but they weren't completely consumed. Interesting, Machloikis Rishonim, if limbs that are in that state, they're somewhat burned, but they're not completely consumed, could you use that limb to do what I just discussed, the mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen? Tysus seems to learn, of course not. To be able to do the mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen, it has to be completely disintegrated into ash. This isn't disintegrated into ash, so you can't use it for Trumas Hadeshen. Rashi seems to learn that it could still be used. So our Mishnah is saying that these Avram that were somewhat burnt, there's enough tamina if they flew off before Chatzos or after Chatzos. Menonimili, ask the Gemara, where do we take this distinction? Amrav, cost of Echad Omer, because we have a problem with the Psukim. What Pasuk says, Kol Ha'ayil of a Hektar? The cost of Echad Omer, Kol Ha'ayil of a Hektar. So the Pasuk seems to be difficult. For one Pasuk, it seems that the time for doing Haktara is the entire night, burning. Another Pasuk seems to say that the entire night is the time for Trumas Hadeshen. How do we reconcile these two Psukim? Chalkeyu, Chetzio, Laktara, the first half of the night is the time for Akhtara, and therefore anything that flies off should be put back on. The Chetzia, and the second half of the night is when Trumas Hadeshen. Ask the Gemara, So according to this, we're learning, that after Chatzos, there's no more din of Haktaras Averin. Ask the Gemara, there's a Braisa. We actually discussed this Braisa in Masechta Yuma. Says the Braisa, B'chol Yoyim Tarev Mesek Mizbeach, every day the Trumas Hadeshin was done B'Krois HaGever. Krois HaGever is around the time of Amud HaShachar. Oy Samach Loy Mufana Me'akrav. Now, it didn't have to be done, says the Braisa, exactly at the moment of Amud HaShachar, either a little before or a little after. B'Yoyim Kippurim, on Yom Kippurim, B'Chatzos. They did it on Chatzos. B'Raglayim, on Yom HaTovim, Mashmei Rishayna. We know, remember the Gemara Masechta Brachos, beginning of Masechta Brachos, that the night is divided into three portions, and after the first third of the night, they already did Trumas Hadeshin. Ask the Gemara, V'Sal K'daitach, if, as we just learned, the Pasuk is teaching us that till Chatzos is the time for Akhtara, after Chatzos is the time for Trumas Hadeshin, ask the Gemara, so how on the Yom Tovim, Heichem Ekdeminon, how could we already do the Trumas Hadeshin after the first end of the first third of the night? It's still before Chatzos. Therefore, reinterprets the Gemara this price. Amar Be'achim. Mashmishnei Mekol HaLayla, Eni Yideish Arabayker. The Pasuk says, regarding the Trumas Hadeshin, Kol HaLayla Arabayker. So what do we need to say Kol HaLayla? To teach us, Tein Boiker LeBoiker Shalayla. And Rashi says as follows, that the Torah left it up to the Chachamim to decide how and when to do the Trumas Hadeshin. Hilkach, therefore, Kol Yoyma, every day, the Krois HaGevasagi. Every day of the year, Trumas Hadeshin could be done at Amud HaShachar. B'Yom Kippurim, on the Yom Kippur, Mishim Chush the Kohen Gadol. We're concerned for the Kohen Gadol. He's fasting. He's tired. So we'll tell him to do it earlier. So there's a number of pshatim how to understand this. Some Rishonim learn that it was the job of the Kohen Gadol, as it is the job of the Kohen Gadol to do most of the Avodah Yom Kippur, to do Trumas Hadeshin. And we're concerned about the health of the Kohen Gadol. He has a tough day ahead of him. The earlier he'll start, the earlier he'll end. And therefore, we tell him to do, he could already do the Trumas Hadeshin by Chatzos. Get a start on the day. Other Rishonim, however, disagree. And they say that the Kohen Gadol did not do the Trumas Hadeshin Yom Kippur. It's not one of the avoiders that had to be done by the Kohen Gadol. What's the Raya? Because if it was one of the avoiders that had to be done, then when we speak about famous Gemaras Masechta Yuma, how many times the Kohen Gadol did Kiddush Yadayim Reglayim, he would have to do Kiddush Yadayim Reglayim before this avoider too. A different Kohen did the Trumas Hadeshin. But the halach is that the Kohen Gadol cannot begin his avodah until the Trumas Hadeshin was done. So we want the Kohen who's doing the Trumas Hadeshin to do the Trumas Hadeshin as early as possible, because as soon as he finishes doing the Trumas Hadeshin, then the Kohen Gadol can begin doing his avodah, start earlier and finish earlier. Birgalim on Yom Tovim, the Nefishi Kabonis, where there are many Kabonis, the Kadmi that people bring, the Kadmi Os Yisrael Mishmar Rishayna. Kiriktani, Sefer, as indeed the Sefer of the Abraisa says, Lehoist the Kriyas Agev Magas, Acha Yisrael Malayim Yisrael. There were so many Yisraelim attending the Beis HaMikdash on the Yom Tovim. And here too we have two pshatim. One pshat, is that there were a lot of Kabbonis brought on the Yom Tovim. So there's a lot of ash. So the job of doing Trumas Hadeshin is a big job. So you have to start earlier. So you start by Shema Rishayna. That's one pshat. There's another pshat. Because what's the difficulty with that pshat? The difficulty with that pshat is the first day of Yontif, there's no reason to do it. Because when did they start bringing all the Kabbonis? As the first day of Yontif. Erev Yontif they didn't start bringing Kabbonis. So the Mishnah says, every day, it wasn't every day, the first day of Yontif, there's no need. There wasn't yet an abundance of Kabbonis. So that's why other Rishonim say a different pshat. Beautiful pshat. Many Yisraelim would come to the Azara on Yom Tov to observe the Avodah. And the Azara was full. And the Kohen, who wanted to do the avoid of Trumas Adeshin, it was hard for him to get around with all of those Yisraelim. So they specially did the avoid of Trumas Adeshin very early, prior to all the Yisraelim arriving in the Azara, so he could work without any disturbance. If that's Pshat, then even the first Ayantav we could understand why it was done, because you want to, so to speak, beat the crowds.